Our society depends a lot upon electricity. From the lights in our homes to refrigeration, heating, and cooling, our work and even our daily communication requires electricity. But how is it produced to meet our needs? I'm Mike Green. You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR. You can email your questions and comments to jx@jeffnet.org. Scientists at Oregon State University are seeking solutions to our ever-growing demand for electricity amid the ever-increasing challenges of climate change, of course. That has placed a focus squarely upon producing green energy, the kind that's renewable and doesn't pollute our environment. Today, we're talking with Burke Hales, a professor at Oregon State University and chief scientist at the company PacWave. He's leading a project that hopes to produce electricity from ocean wave energy. Welcome to the JX.
Are you there, Professor? I am there. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming on at this late moment. Professor, let's start with a bit of your background. What do you do at OSU, and what is PacWave?
Yeah, so I'm a professor in oceanography at the College of Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Sciences at Oregon State University, and my background is in the early days, chemical engineering, and since then, carbon cycle science in the ocean. Started out working in deep sea sediments and moved up into the surface ocean and towards the coasts, and they've started to think about how to not just study the problems that we're encountering, but how to address them.
So help us understand the challenges of producing electricity. How much is from fossil fuels versus green energy?
Oh, right now, it's a very regionally specific question. So, for example, in the Pacific Northwest, we're producing a huge amount of our electricity from hydropower, which is, renewable. Some folks might argue about the greenness of river impoundments. But right now in the Pacific Northwest, I can't give you an exact number, but I would say the majority of our electricity is produced from hydropower with growing contributions from wind and solar.
So what is wave energy, and how can we benefit from it?
Yeah, so wave energy or wave power is just like any other form of naturally produced power. Waves obviously have great power. Anyone who's been on a boat and experienced that, particularly those who are motion sensitive, understand the power in a wave. People who've watched waves crashing on beaches and into breakwaters and jetties understand that power. Anyone who has surfed understands the power in a wave. That power ultimately comes from wind. The wind creates the surface waves in the ocean that are harvestable in terms of their energy. And so what we're talking about now is how to capture the energy that's present in those waves and turn it into a form that is harvestable, usable, transmittable. And so what PacWave is providing is the testbed for the technology developers and researchers who are studying how to convert that oscillatory motion into something like electricity that can be then transmitted to the local power grid.
Okay, so there's a lot of big words there, oscillatory, tech bed. Talk to me in plain language. What is PacWave doing out there off the shore?
Well, what PacWave is doing is providing a test facility that is connected to the local power grid, the Central Lincoln People's Utility District power grid, and ultimately to the regional grid that includes the Bonneville Power Administration and beyond. The facility itself, again, is a test site. It's a pre-permitted facility for developers and researchers of wave energy to deploy devices to test their power production capability, their power transmission capability. And what we're providing is the access to the site itself, the permits that allow those activities to happen in the ocean. And more importantly, substantially in terms of infrastructure, we're providing the cables, the subsea cables that allow power transmission back to the local grid.
So from your platform, which I'm assuming is a research platform, people can experiment on how to capture the ocean wave energy and transmit it back to the shore.
That's exactly right. Our lease with the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is specifically a research lease. And so we anticipate at full capacity being able to produce up to 20 megawatts of power. But that is really intended to be a test-based operation, a research-based operation. The developers who will come to PacWave to test their devices are very likely to, once having proven their technology, to take their technologies elsewhere for commercialization.
Okay, so you mentioned 20 megawatts. I don't have any context for that. Help me out.
Yeah, well, so I don't know if anyone in your audience has solar, but, you know, they're very rough scaling estimates for how much power a renewable energy system can deliver in the average sense, given a peak power rating. PacWave's peak power rating is peak power, and it's very normal for the power, effective power rating, to be a fraction of that, 20%, 10%. If folks who have home solar recognize the power rating, the peak power ratings of their home solar systems, that's often 5 or 10 times the average power that comes out of the system on an annual basis. And so roughly at full capacity, PacWave will produce enough power to power something like a couple thousand regular family homes.
Oh, okay. Well, I understand that this research is part of a collaboration with the federal government, the state of Oregon, and others. Can you talk more about that kind of collaboration and the costs?
So this is cutting-edge infrastructural development. It's very expensive. It's very high risk. And the Department of Energy has been our primary founder, funder since the early days, even the thought development around this facility going back over a decade. So the Department of Energy is providing roughly 90% of our total funding for construction of this facility and will continue to support us as we move past our near complete construction into the operational phase. State of Oregon has contributed a substantial part of that remaining 10%, as well as the university itself, and as well as several key private donors and foundations.
Okay, so the federal government has 90% stake, and the state government has 10%, and there's a smattering of other folks that are involved in the investment of this, but I still don't have a number. What's the number?
We're right around $100 million for the full permitting and construction of the facility.
Over what course of time?
Roughly a decade. There were preliminary surveys and site assessment studies that were performed even earlier than that, uncable connected wave energy test operations off the Oregon coast. But yeah, we're talking, you know, roughly a decade and about $100 million.
I'm talking about producing electricity from ocean wave energy with Burke Hales, an OSU professor and the chief scientist with the company PacWave. You can join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Professor, what's the difference between the process of harnessing ocean wave energy compared to how water is used in hydroelectric dams?
Let me get to that in just a minute. I want to correct a misconception that you just stated. PacWave is not an independent company. PacWave is OSU, and it will be OSU for the foreseeable future. It is largely funded by the Department of Energy, but it is an OSU-owned and operated facility.
Oh, I appreciate that correction.
Coming back to how do we convert this wave energy into power, the distinction here is that unlike winds and water currents that move in sort of a linear direction and that we've gotten very good at converting that linear movement into rotating power that generates electricity, waves are oscillating. They go back and forth. They go up and down. And although we all know just intuitively that there's a lot of power in that up and down motion, it's a very different conversion process from that form of kinetic energy into electricity. And right now, the numbers of technologies, if folks go out and look at wave energy converter devices online, the numbers of technologies are abundant, hundreds of different concepts about how to convert that motion ultimately into electricity. And the reason that they're so divergent is there's never been a test facility of this scale that will allow folks to actually optimize and find the best approach.
So you have two test facilities, if I'm not mistaken, a south-facing test facility and a northern one. Can you talk about the difference?
Yeah, so the south facility, which is the one that's nearing completion of construction now, is the larger of the facilities. It's a 2-square-mile test plot in the ocean about 7 miles offshore of the Newport Airport. off the beach, roughly offshore of the airport in Newport. It is permitted for power production and transmission, which is significantly different than the north site. The north site is in shallower water. It's entirely contained in state waters. And the north site has never been and will never be grid connected. The morphology, the geology of the coastline associated with the Packwood north site makes running cables from the site to shore impossible and environmentally challenging. So the big difference is that Packwave South is in international waters, allows power transmission, and is in deeper water.
When you talk about international waters, what's the
range? National waters. I hope I didn't misspeak.
Well, help me understand the difference between national and international waters. What's that delineation?
Yeah, so the state waters are roughly 3 miles from the shoreline. Federal waters run from that distance out to 200 nautical miles, so well into the deep blue water far offshore. International waters are beyond that. Packwave South is in federal waters. Packwave North is in state waters.
Gotcha. So, Professor, what's the short-term and long-term goals of this wave energy project?
Well, the shortest-term goal is wrapping up the completion of the construction. We have our subsea cables on the seafloor. They are buried and will continue to be buried deeper over the next couple of weeks as weather and ocean conditions allow. And we are we are anticipating beginning full operational phases by roughly June or July of 2025. We'll receive the first research clients in the summer of 25, and in the summer of 26, we'll receive the first power-producing and power-transmitting clients. Longer term than that, I've said several times in other venues that wave energy is maybe 20 years behind wind, and largely that's because of the limitations in testing capabilities for wave energy. And so I would anticipate that, you know, in a decade, one of our devices, one of the devices that's tested at our facility, is in commercial production in a place that's in need, doesn't have the hydro resources that we have. And we often talk about remote islands, Kodiak Island in Alaska. But there are a number of places internationally where there are wave resources and limited hydropower resources. And so this could fill an important gap in the portfolio of renewable energies there.
Are there similar projects anywhere else in the world?
The most similar project is a place called the European Marine Energy Center, or EMEC, which is in Orkney Islands in Scotland. They're one of our key partners and advisors in this process. They have done the most megawatt-scale power testing in the wave energy space in the world. There's a small facility on the U.S. Navy base at Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii that has smaller capability and less power conditioning and monitoring capability. There are a couple of small facilities, one off Portugal, one off in the Bay of Biscay between Spain and France. Packwave will be the biggest, most power transmissive capable facility in the world. And really, aside from the small facility in Hawaii and a couple of facilities in Europe, Packwave is unique in the world.
So, Professor, what would it take for, let's say, you guys find the right formula, and what would it take for that to scale?
That's the question that I'm going to say is beyond my expertise as a research professor. That becomes economic. That becomes subject to regulatory restrictions in not just in U.S. waters but elsewhere, which are going to be variable state by state. Ultimately, the Department of Energy estimates that wave energy has the capability to produce something like 10 or 20% of U.S. electricity demand. But again, that's this number that I think is, you know, 10 or 20 years out in the future.
Gotcha. So can you give us a sense about the current infrastructure problem that, and what you envision it to be in another generation?
As far as building the facilities that can be power transmitted?
As far as the grid and where we get our power from?
Well, yeah, that's, again, an even bigger problem than we're thinking about with Packwave itself. You know, the grid is you know, obviously the integrated power distribution system for the nation. It's not exactly getting younger. There are lots of places where federal and state grids don't particularly mesh effectively. And so those are huge, huge problems for the national and international energy distribution system. Ultimately, you know, we have a serious carbon problem, and the only way ultimately to deal with that problem is to reduce carbon emissions. And so the development, the upfront investment in studying these technologies so that we can end up with a diversified portfolio of renewable energies to help mitigate that carbon problem, that's the long-term objective for all of this. And I've been
talking with Burke Hales. I have to go now. He's an OSU Understood. Professor and chief scientist with the company PacWave. Thanks for helping us understand a complex subject.